Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what's going on, family? Thanks again for hanging out with me for another week of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Listen, guys, before I start every podcast, you already know I just like to take a few quick moments to give God some thanks, because I believe that if it wasn't for him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening is inspired, motivated, and impacted to not only learn more and do more, but to become more. So I pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Listen, guys, you know every single week I bring only the fire guests on the show, and this week is no different. Today's guest is the CEO and co-founder of Web Matrix Group. He's also a contributor for some of the world's largest publications such as Entrepreneur, Forbes, Business Insider, Inc., Yahoo Finance, and so many others. He's a SEO and PR guru. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my good friend, Emmy Tarek. What's going on, my brother? Thanks for hanging out with me today.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm honored.
Appreciate it, man. I know it's long overdue. I know you're a super, super busy guy, so I just want to jump right into it, man. You ready to rock and roll?
I am. Let's get to it.
Awesome, man. So I know that you do so many things. Your company is growing and scaling, and your clients are amazing, and it's going great for you. Even through this coronavirus crisis, I know that you haven't missed a beat. You haven't slowed down, man. You keep on going. So tell us a little bit about, before we get into all the amazing stuff, tell us a little bit about the younger Emmy and the mindset that you had then, and how, and some of the things you had to go through to become who you are today, and to develop the mindset that you have today.
Okay, how far back do you want me to go?
not to like 5, 6, 7 years old, just like before, like maybe high school.
Okay, all right, let's go to high school then, that's fine. So when I was back 15, my mom had a cardiac arrest, and then they managed to resuscitate her. Her heart function went down from very high to 21%. Basically, the hospital couldn't do anything for her. So my dad taught me how to research and think for myself. And with his help, and I was helping him, I should say, actually, with my help, we managed to get my mom's heart function up to 46%.
Wow.
Right, and that's from a cardiac arrest where her heart completely stopped, working completely.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So my mindset was, honestly, I quit business to help my dad do research. My mindset was going to leave the UK, London, and get into America. I had no clear plan other than being in America. My dream was to be in the United States, and that was all it was. My mindset was, I used to enjoy my time, if I had any free time, not researching, to watch Japanese cartoons, including dramas, for example. Still love them to this day. I didn't really have a business mindset or self-development mindset at the time. My only mindset is I just want to be able to go through life and get what I want, and that's it. I just knew what I wanted, and that was the end of it.
Was that part of your dream of coming to the United States?
Yes, it was my number one dream to come to the United States. Since I was 9 years old, I wanted to come to America to live. Since I was 6 years old, I wanted to come to America and go to Harvard and drop out.
And why was that? Why was the United States your option?
I just knew that is where I felt home. London never felt home to me. It always felt, I don't know, distant. And just, I don't like London. The taxes, the weather, it's always depressing. Like, we're in beautiful Florida. I know it's been raining earlier, but it's generally beautiful. California is generally beautiful weather as well. I've always been drawn to California and Scottsdale and Florida.
Yeah, I mean, the weather is completely different from England. It always looks muggy and rainy out there, huh?
Yeah, it's always rainy, muggy, hardly ever warm. At least for most of my life, it was never warm. And the land is so much, and the houses are so much nicer and bigger here, cheaper. The cost of living is cheaper, it's more advanced with health. I knew since I was 12 years old that healthcare in America is way more advanced. Yeah, the food, organic, is more natural here than it is in England.
Mm. Now, so what was it that got you into wanting to become an entrepreneur and building this successful business?
When I was 9 years old, I saw this house I really wanted, and it was like £5 million. And I really want that house. And like, how did I get to it? And the question that came to me, I needed to build my own business to get rich. I was never going to get rich doing anything else. So I'm like, okay, that's what got me inspired into it. And I was 12 and I started making about $8,000 a month at 12 years old.
Oh, $8,000 a month?
Yeah, 12 years old.
Doing what?
I basically fixed computers and or take existing files, break them open, take out all the bad stuff, reconstruct the files together and put them back together and give it to people and sell them.
So that's what led you to becoming one of the top world's leading SEO experts and PR experts and all of that. So let's jump right into that then, man. So from a young age, you were already involved with tech and computers and fixing this and technology. So let me ask you this. Why is SEO so important, and why should you know, entrepreneurs and business leaders understand the importance of it?
Okay, so SEO can be split into multiple ways. You've got SEO for your own brands. You've got SEO for the growth of your own companies. And then you've got SEO just to stop people to have an asset, as to say. Because when you do paid traffic, the problem is you're renting traffic. Right? If you start, another way you can put it in, if you keep paying for paid ads, if you stop paying, the faucet turns off and the water is not coming out of the sink. So SEO is an asset that keeps growing. It's organic. It's the only form of advertising, actually, that I found personally yet, where you can invest the same every single month and your advertising will actually grow. Wow. And more importantly for me, it's about a reputation. I want to control what is about me in Google. Right? Unfortunately, I haven't really had anyone come and done anything to me negatively yet, but it could happen in the future, and I want to be able to prevent that.
Yeah. No, so you know, that's why it's important for companies to be able to understand the importance of that, so that they can control, in essence, what people are seeing about them on the web, right?
Yeah. And the content, the value, how do you present yourself to them? Are you going to bring these back in?
So, man, I'm all about adding tremendous value. So what are some tips, some quick tips, maybe 3 or 4 tips that you can give the listeners on how to maximize their SEO?
The first thing I would do if you're doing SEO is claim your social brand for Twist. You can go to something like Noam, or you can go to somewhere like yourbrand.ai. It's like $500, $600. You claim 300 social media profiles with your name. It immediately builds a brand and no one can claim it. The most important thing, in my opinion. The second thing is what I would do before you touch the growth of an SEO, is put all your pixels on, from Pinterest to Facebook to Google to LinkedIn, Twitter. Why not put the pixels in every part of you pushing traffic in? Get the data to build up custom audiences.
Oh, that's good.
Right? And then now we're going to the SEO part. What I would do is probably get something like Ink Verified. It's $50 for a year. You get Ink Verified profile. It goes into your Google search results almost every single time. It's fantastic.
That's called Ink Verifier?
Yeah, Ink Verified. It's $50 a year.
Look at that, guys. So there you have it. That's awesome, man. Listen, that's one of the things, especially as an influencer and even as an entrepreneur, you want your either like me, I'm a motivational speaker, so I am the brand. But then other entrepreneurs who actually have businesses that they're running, you know, it's important for us to be able to, you know, when somebody's Googling something, be on the first page on the very top, because you want people to find you quickly and easily, right? So that's why it's so important for you as a business owner or an entrepreneur to understand why SEO is so important. And as you're building your brand, you know, you're also developing your social proof, which is another question I wanted to ask you. Like, how important is having the proper social proof when people are Googling you?
Okay, it's extremely important. The way I'm going to explain it, the next part of SEO, and it's going to tie to the social proof, is this. SEO comes down to 4 things. It comes down to, first, if you understand all algorithms, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Google, Yahoo, Bing, I can go on and on. The 4 things that have never changed between these algorithms. And everybody focuses on the 1,000 different algorithms, SEO or Facebook or whatever. These 4 things, you focus on this, you'll wipe out everybody. It comes down to, what is the intent of that user on that particular platform at that given time? You can solve that with a good experience. They're going to be coming back and staying on it, and they're going to get what they want. If they don't get what they want, they're going to leave, and they're going to come back to the platform. Then it's come down to trust. Now, trust can be broken down into 2 things. We're going to come to that afterwards. And the 4th one is engagement or traffic. It's extremely important to tie this together. And when you talk about trust, you have to have a personal brand and a company brand. Because at the end of the day, Google wants to present information that can solve someone's problems from trusted sources. And the reason it is, if you can provide a good experience and trusted sources, people will be using that platform, means they can sell advertising space. It's the same for Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn. They want to sell advertising space, and to do that, many people are using that platform, which is why trust is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Now, trust, there's a company trust and there's a personal trust. Right? The personal brand, you need to attach a CEO or someone to be the face of the company. Like, we think of Apple, we think of Steve Jobs. Even though he died, we still think Steve Jobs. Bill Gates, Microsoft, even though someone else took it. They have their brands attached to that company. Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway. So your brand needs to be someone's brand got to be connected to that company.
That's powerful. That's very, very powerful.
And then, sorry.
No, go ahead. What do you do after that?
I'm going to say, with the social proof. Now, if you can build up your credibility on other websites, your own website, by what I call authorship, it's going to help you tremendously. Because what is a better way than being a published author, being a contributor to different publications or in your field and to major publications on that topic? What is better proof to Google than that?
Yeah, no, that's 100% accurate. Now, you mentioned something about being featured and contributing to large publications. In your opinion, which one do you think is better, being a contributor or being featured?
It depends upon your goal and what you want to do. For example, when people talk about features, there's three types of features. You've got a mention, which is the most common one and the most easy one to get. And that's what's going to happen more and more as you go forward, because they're making paywalls. Because full features or full articles about you are considered promotional. Therefore, it's not what the readers want of these publications. See, a lot of people when they do PR, they have this ego where they want to be all about them. But the thing is, it's not the benefit to the reader that, as much as I mentioned, where educational core is providing value.
That's right.
Right? Yeah, you want to provide value to your story and stuff, but it's not what it's still considered promotional.
Yeah.
And that's, publications don't want that necessarily. And then the third type of feature is the listicles or roundup pieces, where you got top 20 books, as we, you and I have both been on. But that in itself, depending how you use it, can be working with a contributor. A contributor can be used to connect you to very high profile people as well. So it depends on how you use it. If you ask me, mention a full article about you, that's a contributor, are they contributors worth more? If you're talking about a roundup, statistical, or contributor, it depends on how you use it and where it's at. It's not a one size fit all.
Yeah. And I mean, you've been featured and you've been, and you're a contributor to so many large publications. And also, by the way, shout out, for those of you listening, Amy and I recently made the top 20 books to read during the lockdown that'll change your life. If you're looking for a great PR agent and someone who can help get you that, you know, what we were talking about earlier, get you on these trusted sources and trusted platforms and sites that can help escalate and scale your business, you definitely want to check him out, check his website out. I'll be dropping all those, all that information in the show notes and the comments when this show drops in a couple weeks. So you definitely want to make sure you do that. Amy, let me ask you this question. With everything that you've been doing, I know your company is great with Google PPC and, online brand management and so forth. Out of all the things that you do, what do you think is your sweet spot?
Honestly, it'll be creating someone to do authority in the field for Google and defending their reputation. That's probably where I thrive the most.
I love that. When I was looking at your website and looking at your information, I saw that slogan where it says, "We'll defend your reputation." And I think that that's so powerful because you have so many hackers, so many people creating fake accounts here, fake accounts there on different platforms. And I just love the fact that you said, "We'll defend your reputation." And that's important, you know, not only on a personal level, but a business level, entrepreneurial level, you know, because your reputation, I mean, that's basically all you have, right? Your reputation is everything. That's going to be the factor in whether people want to work with you or not, whether they want to hire you or not, or they're going to, you know, support and promote you or not. So that's powerful, man. Tell me why you think that's so important about defending people's reputation, especially online.
Okay, well, everybody will look at you on Google or nowadays, they type your name in, and we'll see what they can find about you. For example, and here's the thing. Money is finite, and it's a tool. It's not an asset. You can make assets work for you to produce more money, to produce more tools, as I like to say. But if you lost all your assets tomorrow and all your money, all you have left is your reputation and your network.
That's right.
And you can, and for example, let's say, this is just a hypothesis that probably not going to come true, but it's just a, well, let's say it's a potential hypothesis or theory. Not theory, a potential thing that could happen. If America crashes completely to the ground financially and we won't recover, for sake of argument, China becomes a new superpower, how are you going to recover and become wealthy to the world, not just in that small country? Like America became a third world country. It's very hard. But if you were to move to a new country where you create new opportunities from scratch, yes, you have the skill, but you don't have the reputation backing you. How are you going to make it work? It's going to be so much harder. Right. Life, when you got the reputation and the ability to leverage that, you can scale yourself so much easier. So why I love PR and publication so much.
Wow.
Because it opens the doors for you way faster, because people respect authorities, and by hacking your reputation and your publicity, you can become the authority in the field to them wherever you are. For example, my favorite publication that I want to write for and I'm working on it is Harvard Business Review. The name Harvard, to me, is the biggest and strongest brand in the world in history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, for example, a lot of people like Apple, a lot of people hate Apple. My wife loved Apple. I like Apple, but I don't like the Macs, right? And I really don't like the iPhones that much. I don't mind the Macs, but I love the Apple Watch, for example. I love the iPad. Right, but so you got the thing. But the thing is, when you think about Harvard, everybody wants to be associated with Harvard in one shape or form. Whether that's Harvard Business Review, Harvard University, speaking at Harvard, someone wants to be associated with Harvard. It has that trust. And when you go to people and say, look, I spoke at Harvard, I write for Harvard Business Review, or I went to Harvard University, you are up there in their head. In their
you're mind. In the big leagues. Once you're there, you're in the big leagues. I mean, because it's a household name. Everybody knows how, you know, you mentioned Harvard, everybody knows Harvard.
Yeah, and so if you have to restart from scratch, it's a lot easier than someone who's just been a nobody with a good skill. But said, oh, you're in Harvard, you must be the best, even if you're not, it's not true. It's perception. Perception is reality, and that's what it allows you to do. Yeah. Reputation is about creating a perception around you.
Wow. That's amazing, man. And you've been in all of them. So how long do you think it's going to take before you get into Harvard?
I'm actually going to try it now. I haven't actually tried it until now. I'm about to submit the article today.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Look at that. We get to hear some breaking news. He's about to submit the article today. And he's been on pretty much every single major publication that you can think of. Emmy has been on it as a contributor or featured in it. So that's amazing. And shout out, too, because you just got verified on both Facebook and Instagram, which is, you know, it's a pretty big deal. A lot of people, you know, try to figure that out, crack the code, how to get there. And you've made it because of the impact that you've been making and the noise that you've been making in the marketplace with your business and helping other people out and just scaling so quickly. Let me ask you this. You know, you've been doing a lot of promoting and helping people scale not only their brands but their businesses. Why do you think that, you know, people are so afraid of putting themselves out there and being vulnerable, whether it's personal or business? You know, especially nowadays, everybody's so protective and so overwhelmed with the coronavirus and everything that's going on. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is a lot of people have fear. And often the fear comes from that they fear the opinions of others from a lack of self-love. Or is they're not competent enough, and they know that. Mm-hmm. It's normally down to a lack of competency or it's a lack of self-love.
Wow.
Because to me, if you are competent, you know what you're going to deliver, it's fine to put yourself out there. Unless you don't love yourself. When you don't love yourself, you're worried about what other people think more than what you think about yourself.
I think
that. And you're going to get hated. Right? The more noise you make, you're going to get haters. It's the people get jealous. It's not even hatred, it's jealousy. Right? And I always say there's only two types of people in life. There's winners and there's quitters.
That's right, baby. I love it.
Right? A lot of people are going to think, it's like, use the term losers. I'm like, losers are just people who haven't quit yet. They're either going to quit or they're going to win.
That's right. I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that analogy, the way you put that. You know, I saw this one post that said, "Quitters, winners never quit,
And quitters never win.
Never win. Exactly. Yeah. So it's just, it's so powerful because I think that it's all mindset, man. I think that everything starts and ends in the mind. So, you know, you ever had that moment, and I think we've all experienced it, where you talk yourself into something and then literally seconds later, you talk yourself right back out of it. And it's because you let that fear, whatever that may have been, you let it grip you and you let it paralyze you pretty much from moving forward and moving into your destiny. It's crazy, man. What are you working on right now? Other than the Harvard, I know that you're about to submit that today, but what are some of your other goals that you're working on right now? Some other projects?
What I'm doing right now is I'm making a bunch of money to buy out a bunch of companies because I'm going to scale with my marketing skills. Because that's my biggest project probably, because I really believe that if you look at businesses as a whole, the reason people struggle is they don't have to market. And if you can go in and put the marketing behind something, you can turn a seven-figure business into a juggernaut. Because it's so much easier to buy a company than to build one. The first $1 million is the hardest. If I can go in and buy an existing company that's doing well and scale it up, I can make way more impact, way more money, and way more freedom for my family, for my time, than if I was trying to build it from scratch.
Yeah, because a lot of the groundwork has already been established.
Yeah.
What kind of companies are you looking into buying?
A bunch in Miami, from tech companies to roofing to plumbing to whatever.
Oh, wow. All diversified, huh?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, the process is the same with marketing. It's just the language changes. Mm. Wow. Or in the case of the SEO, it will change based on the industry who I reach out to. So, for example, if I'm doing health, I'm going to reach out to health publications. But if I'm doing the other one, I'll reach out to home repair or interior design type publications.
I saw something on your site where it said, you know, you don't outsource anything. You like to keep everything in-house.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because what happens is if I outsource all the time, I have to rely on other people to do it. Whereas it's in-house, I got the process SOPs. I own the assets. Because remember, the biggest payday is when you exit a company.
That's right.
Right. And if I outsource things, I can't really exit the company. Not that I ever plan to, but if I ever want to come down to it, that's one thing. Two, and probably the more important reason why I do this, especially with my agency, is if I'm outsourcing, I'm trusting other people to be competent enough to maintain their employees. And then I'm putting the trust and the faith in the client's results in someone else's hands versus my hands. Mm. If it's my employees, I can amend the issue. If it's someone else's employees, I can't.
Wow, that's true. See, it's always you don't know what you don't know, guys. So it's always, that's why I love interviewing, you know, people like Emmy and so many other great businessmen and minds, because, you know, you learn every day. Everyone has a different skill set. Everyone has a different area of expertise, and you start learning. And I love, you know, being able to interview these type of guys and get into their heads, because this guy is buying, bro, you're buying companies, you're building brands, you're building people's reputations and defending them. I love that, man. So let me ask you this. So I know that you're married, you have a wife. Let's switch gears a little bit. You have a wife. How long have you been married for?
Since 2015, so almost 5 years.
Okay, when in 2015?
July. So it's next month for my anniversary.
Oh, July what?
I'm 23rd.
Oh, okay. I'm just asking because mine is in July too. I'm on the 7th. So I'm like 2 weeks before you.
Yeah.
Hopefully by then, maybe, you know, we'll be opened up and you could come down to Miami. We can hang out.
No, well, I'll be coming soon. So the point is over, I probably can come down anyway.
So any kids?
No, not yet.
Plans on having some?
I do want kids down the line.
Awesome. Now I know that your wife has some great news too. She was also featured in the top 20 books as well. She just became a number one bestseller. Is that correct?
She was a number one bestseller on Amazon for a previous book. The new book is about to become a Wall Street Journal bestseller.
Wow,
Wall Street. Put a big marketing campaign behind it, so that'll be a Wall Street Journal bestseller.
You see, I mean, that's another household name, man. You hear, you know, names like Harvard, Wall Street Journal, you know, USA Today, Business Insider, Inc. I mean, you hear all these type of names and you're like, wow. So when people are Googling you guys, they already know that you guys are on all these trusted sites, and they know that, and basically at the end of the day, they know that you're the real deal.
And at the end of the day, when you're talking something like a Wall Street Journal, a Forbes, you're getting verified as a real credible expert. Right, because a lot of people can claim anything nowadays. When you are showing with the press, yes, this is the real deal, third party is voting and showing you this, it's like, oh, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, and it's opening doors for you. It's making, you know, it's getting you connected with high-level people, quality people that's going to, in essence, help you, you know, grow your brand, grow your business and scale and generate massive income.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. What are your top three? Because I know we spoke about this earlier about the importance of having social proof. And I asked you, and we spoke about SEO. I asked you for, you know, three top ways to increase SEO. But what are your three top ways to, in regards to social proof, what are the first couple, three steps that people should be doing when they're trying to build their own social proof? Because as an influencer, I do a lot of one-on-one coaching. I do a lot of training and people are always asking me like, man, how can I get myself out there? Like, what kind of social proof should I work on first? Like what first step should I make? And what are you, as an expert, what are your top three?
My first thing is a lot of people want to jump straight into the Forbes unless you have the relationship or the connections to someone who can get it done, right? Which is not what everyone can do, right? A lot of people are like, Amy, how do you land TV? How do you land all of it? I've been my own publicist, right? I never had any form of training in PR or anything. I started small, a small publication. I built my way up, right? A lot of people want to jump in. It's like going to real estate. I want to buy a 500-unit apartment complex and I bought a one apartment. It's like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Bought a house.
So you recommend the first step is to start getting into some smaller publications.
Yes. There's number one thing you must do if you've never been on it, because that's going to help you the most.
What's one easy small publication someone can get into that you can think of off the top of your head?
Thrive Global.
Thrive Global. Okay, cool. So there you have it, folks. If you're looking to build your social proof, you're not going to jump right into Forbes, like he said, unless you have a connection or a contact. So start in the smaller publications, and Thrive Global, he's saying, is one of the easier ones to get into, which I know is true. That's one of the first ones I got it. Actually, that's the first one that I ever got into, and it was fairly easy for me as well. So Thrive Global. So what's the second step or second recommendation you have when they're trying to build social proof?
Okay, I'm giving you one more before I go into the second recommendation. Goodman Project is also very good to get.
Okay, there you have it. We already gave you two, Thrive Global and the Goodman Project.
Okay, my second recommendation when you're doing your social proof, I would go in immediately and get a Google Knowledge Panel, also known as Google Verified, right?
What is that for people who don't know? Google Knowledge Panel or Google Verified, what is that for people who don't know?
So basically what it is it's a panel that shows up on the side of your name on the desktop or above on, on the mobile. And what it is, it's a little panel with your name. You can have photos or very extensive, it may just be just your name and date of birth. And what it is, it's in the categories like entrepreneur, whatever. What it is, it gives you a lot of credibility to Google saying that look, we are a legitimate brand that needs to be taken notice of.
Mm. Now, you know, I've heard, and this is maybe a little advanced for those that are listening, but I know that you and I are kind of like in the space and you're the professional, but I hear some people saying, you know, Google Knowledge Panel or Wikipedia. Do you have to do one before the other, or does it not really matter?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, Wikipedia, it's very easy to get a panel, but it's not true for vice versa. Okay. Wikipedia is probably harder to get a hold of than a knowledge panel.
So it's easier to do a knowledge panel for those that are starting out rather than doing a Wikipedia.
Yeah, because Wikipedia, the thing is, it's very easy to get up, but keeping it up is a different story. I always say, and I'm going to add you, it's very easy to make $1 million. Keeping $1 million is a different story.
That's true.
Let me cancel it. Who's
this? Very true, very true. So when you say keeping, it's very easy to get the Wikipedia up, but keeping it, when you say keeping it, what do you mean? Keeping it up and running or just keeping it updated constantly?
Keep it up and running, because they'll take it down often.
Oh, so they'll take it down after a while if it's not.
Yeah. If I don't think you're legitimate enough, I'll take it down. So legitimacy is everything with Wikipedia.
That's important right there. See, so that's important because, you know, if somebody who's young and first starting out and wanting to jump right in and they're going to go and spend all this money on Wikipedia or Google Knowledge Panel, you got to know that, you know, if Wikipedia doesn't think that you're legitimate enough or that you're up there yet, they'll take it down, and you don't want to spend all that money for them to take it down, and then you have to pay somebody else again to be able to put it back up.
It becomes harder every time you get taken down.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. All right, so we have building the social proof. We have Thrive Global. We have Goodman Project. You recommended as a second step to do the Google Knowledge Panel. And what's the third and final step?
So the final step is, in my opinion, connect to other influencers, add value, and find a way to get the testimonials off them. Because if you get the industry leaders in related fields or in your field to give you a testimonial, it builds your credibility drastically.
Wow, there you have it, guys. Testimonials. Now, let me ask you this, because this is another thing that I teach. Do you recommend written testimonials or video testimonials? And does one hold more weight than the other?
Video can hold, well, it depends how well they perform. Video is better generally, but I like LinkedIn written testimonials. Or Facebook testimonials are fine for me. Right, as long as I don't want it written by on its own. If you can get some kind of proof, like even email testimonials with signatures, it still shows some legitimacy to it.
That's true. Yeah, with the signature.
But the key is it's got to be look legitimate. It can't just be like a simple testimonial. No, it has to look legitimate.
And when you say legitimate, what do you mean by that? Like, what does it have? Well,
for example, a lot of people would put a testimonial with someone's name under it. It doesn't look legitimate at all.
So I would even say, like, maybe make sure that it's on a company letterhead.
It can be a company letterhead. It can be a bunch of different ways. But the main thing is you want some kind of proof that it actually looks legitimate. That's the most important thing. Video, it works best, in my opinion. But if you can't get it, LinkedIn, Facebook, email signature with email, all works.
Yep, yep. All right, cool. There you have it, folks. So, Emmy, so let me ask you this question. I know you like, you know, you travel all over the world. You're meeting all these cool people. What's one destination that you haven't been to that's still on your bucket list?
Turks and Caicos.
You haven't been there yet?
No.
Wow. I went there one time, man. That thing is amazing.
I bet. I'm desperate to go in the winter for that New Year's.
Yeah. Heck yeah. It's amazing. Turks and Caicos is actually one of our favorite spots was actually Tortola, which is a British Virgin Island. One of the British Virgin Islands called Tortola. Amazing, beautiful location as well. But Turks and Caicos is equally beautiful, man. That water, man, it looks like bath water. You can see the floor clearly.
Oh, you're making me jealous.
I know you get that, man, but I know you also been busting your butt and building your business and helping people build their brands, man. So I'm always a firm believer of you know, they say you can either pay now or you can pay later. And you and I are choosing to pay now so that later, you know, we can kind of just live off the fruit of our labor. So man, I commend you, brother, for doing an amazing job with what you're doing. Keep on doing what you're doing. For those that want to get in touch with you, because like I said, you're a phenomenal, you know, public relations dude and SEO and, you know, you just anything tech, you're like you and your partner, you're like gurus with. So if anybody wants to get a hold of you, get in touch with you, work with you, and maybe, you know, take advantage of some of your high level services, where can they get in touch with you?
The best way is Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. It's just Emmy Tarik, which is IMMYTARIQ. Literally the fastest, easiest way.
Social media, there you have it. Go to reach out to him, Emmy Tarik. And that's on all, that's across all those platforms, right? Same thing, yep. Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. There you have it, folks. Man, Emmy, it's been a blast hanging out with you, brother. Thank you for dropping so many value bombs and so many nuggets on my audience. Listen, I always like to ask this final question for people listening to the show. You know, the name of the show is I Won't Stop Until I Win. I know a lot of people right now have lost their jobs. Companies have closed down. People are struggling. People are hurting. What would you tell that person that's listening right now? They maybe feel like giving up, or they're having, you know, they feel stuck, or they feel stagnant. You know, they feel like they can't move. What would you tell that person right now to give them some motivation or some encouragement to keep on moving and make sure that they don't stop until they win?
Okay. So it's going to be a bit of a longer answer. There's a quote, I can't remember who said the quote, you can't connect the dots looking forward, you can only connect the dots looking backwards. With that being said, right, have a vision. trust it, and just work with it and crave the end result no matter what. You may have to pivot 100 times, 1,000 times to get there. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, there's a quote, and it's a book actually about this quote, called 3 Feet from Gold by Dr. Greg Reed. Mm-hmm. And what I love about the story is, this guy had bought this land and he was trying to dig and dig and get the gold. Never got it. He gave up. This other guy came in and bought the land very cheap and hired a professional, found the gold, and became a multi-millionaire. Right? And the thing is, sometimes you have to hire outside expertise to find that gold. Right? And there's another saying, I got this from Elena Cardone. Life is about being a gold digger. See, when we think gold digger, most people think, oh, you're going to marry someone for the money. But what she said is, I changed the definition where I'm mining for gold. You have to mine for your gold within you. For you are unlimited within yourself as long as you will persevere.
I love that.
For example, my greatest struggle in life was when my dad was assassinated.
Oh, wow.
Right? And I lost everything. I had to build from scratch from there. Wow. Life is all about pushing forward. For what, the obstacle is the way is my favorite book. Right? It's by Ryan Holiday. Yeah, my favorite book is by Ryan Holiday.
Wow.
And then my wife wrote something in her book, A Life with Hell. You have to ask her what exact quote was, because I want to wreck it. But basically, that blueberries have a very important significance in nature. They can't be burnt. See, the thing is, when people are trying to achieve the goal, when they having a, what's it called? Trying to get through past these hard times, everybody is still trying to seek balance. But to me, the word balance, it doesn't exist. And it doesn't exist as a law of nature. Mm-hmm. What it really is, it's about equilibrium. Life is all equilibriums. And balance never existed. The equilibrium has to work. So when you can, so you have to create an equilibrium for your life to get to where you want to get to. And sometimes you have to pivot. For example, one of my companies, it went down drastically. So what I did is I created a new business. I actually sold it. I got rid of that company that lost the money. I made over 5 times more money in this new company that I set up as a result of the coronavirus.
Wow.
I took an $85,000 a month hit on that company. And this one, I'm building a $2 million a month business.
Wow.
So you can imagine the difference in revenue is almost 20 times. But that was something new that I'd never done before. But I pivoted because I knew what I wanted.
So
we have to pivot and we have to keep going, no matter what. For every obstacle lies an opportunity.
I love that.
And rather than trying to keep a balance, I know a lot of people about the work-life balance, focus on equilibrium. As you said, you pay now, you're going to pay later. The equilibrium is, I call it the form of success to me is this, right? Or business success, is sales, marketing, pricing equals revenue, the equilibrium of revenue, right? You use revenue as an equilibrium to pump back into your sales team, into your marketing, and into your pricing. Right? It goes back and forth as an equilibrium. It's basic chemistry. That is the formula of business.
Wow.
And life is a similar, and you just got to focus on equilibrium, not a balance.
So there you have it, folks. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, and no matter what you've been facing, is you have to find the equilibrium in your life, right? Find, like he said, find the goal that's within you. Find the goal that's inside of you that you can, which is value. At the end of the day, what that goal is value. What value do you have to bring to the marketplace? What value do you have to bring to the table? And everyone has some form of value inside of them that they can bring to the marketplace and bring to the table. So Emmy, man, I appreciate you so much for hanging out with me. Thank you again for dropping so many quotes. I love the quotes, man. So many nugget bombs, so many value bombs, brother. I appreciate you. And you can, guys, remember, you can go reach out to him any social media platform at Emmy Tarik, IMMYTARIQ. He's very responsive. I know when I first met him and I reached out to him, he responded like within minutes. So he's very responsive. So if you're looking to scale up this year, no matter what happened with coronavirus, maybe you have to start from scratch like he did. Maybe you're taking a hit with your company and you lost some money. He started over. He's generating income. And if he can do it, you can do it as well. So listen, guys, I appreciate you for hanging out with me. Thank you so much. And until next week, make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care and God bless. Thanks, Emmy.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires360.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.